2016 SEN. Crunch Time. Voted the most outstanding radio football program 2007, 10, 11 and 2013. For Ringwood Mazda, when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
26 minutes past 11, this is Crunch Time, as you heard me. Thanks to Ringwood Mazda, great day to get out and have a look at the full range and all the special deals you'll get at Ringwood Mazda.
What's the policy when you're half it? Did you bring a note from your mum? What's the policy?
I'm not sure. Still no sign of the great man. As we said, plenty of feedback off the SMS. I'm stuck behind Robbo in the queue at Dinkum Pies.
Oh, no.
That's not bad. Nick Del Santo joins us, North Melbourne midfielder. Superstar, how are you, Nick?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, mate. Assessment of last night. It obviously wasn't great in the first half, but the second half certainly, it did enough.
Yeah, probably not one of the prettiest games that that we've played, or probably visually for people watching it either on telly or at the game, but I actually thought it was a really good contested game, which hasn't happened a lot this year for us. Essendon are really one-on-one defensively, so we knew it was going to be probably a bit more of a slower game. The overlap handball and the free-flowing opportunities we probably thought weren't going to be there, and I reckon it probably played out that way.
What was the discussion at halftime from the coach? Because Essendon, as you said, really had challenged you in the first half, and in some ways could have been even better placed.
Yeah, we didn't change much at halftime. There wasn't much spoken about in regards to Essendon. Scotty was really balanced in the way that he spoke to us as a group and what we needed to work on, but it wasn't anything different than what we expected going into the game. So we actually thought our pressure was really good as well. And we thought Essendon's was probably equal at half-time. This probably needed to take some more opportunities. I thought a few times we had the ball, gave it back a bit easily, and they capitalised on that.
Before I throw you over to Kingy and to Derm, tell us about being in the midfield when Todd Goldstein's rucking the way that he is at the moment.
Yeah, it makes life a little bit easier, Hutto, at the moment. No, Goldie's had a fantastic year again. I think he's big improvement. He's always been a really good tap ruckman, and I was aware of that even before I came to North Melbourne, but I think his improvement has been around the ground. I don't know how many marks he took on the wings last night, but it just felt like every time that he was around the ball, he either marked it, and on the odd occasion he didn't, at least it came to ground. But he's been in amazing form. I mean, obviously there's been a lot said about him, but I think he deserves every bit of credit that he's getting at the moment.
Nick, your second quarter I thought was outstanding. Your fourth quarter was outstanding. You had the ball and you got a lot of kicks in the second quarter. I'd be really interested in to know your thoughts on the way the forwards presented, the difference between the second quarter presentation and the fourth quarter presentation, when you had the more of a handle on the match. Didn't have it completely in control, but more of a handle. How did they go between the second and the fourth quarter?
Yeah, a little bit hard to say at times, Jim. Obviously, when you're in the heat of the battle, it's hard to recognise what they're doing, but there was times I thought we got outmarked, or Essendon just marked it uncontested in our own forward line, which isn't great. It's the one area of the ground that it's really hard to get it in there. So when it is there, let's try and get something more out of it. I just thought we'd probably use the ball a little bit better. It works both ways. Obviously, yeah, the forwards need to do their role, but it's also the way that we get it into them. The hit-ups, I thought a couple of times we could have used more hit-ups, and as good as Goldie was at times long down the line, I actually felt there was other avenues to goal that we could have used. And I reckon that's something that we can speak about this week and get better at, because obviously opposition is going to put a lot of work into Goldie and the other tools, but if that doesn't work, then what do we do? So I think there's got to be another avenue. Having Zeeble down there, Ben Cunnington gave us another option at times, and probably just leading up to the ball I thought was another way that we could get there. But a combination of what we're doing, Derm, and also what the forwards are presenting us with.
Yeah, I thought in that second quarter the forwards were almost a little reluctant to lead hard out, yeah, up outside of 52. A couple of times you looked down the line, you were on the run, and yeah, you had to chip, and you changed your mind to go short and sideways.
Just remembered a couple of those occasions. I reckon sometimes what happens is because our forwards work so hard defensively, on turnover, it is a long way to get back, particularly the way that we can move the ball at times. So I remember one particularly on in front of the bench that I did pick up the ball and was looking to go forward and realised there was nobody there. And I'm not that quick anymore. I was quite happy to handball the ball backwards and try and just, you know, slow it up a little bit. But I think that's part of the modern game. I'm not sure if other clubs are going through the same learning curve, that because, and I've spoken about Drew Petrie, I know he didn't play last night, but Drew works so hard defensively that he'll chase and do whatever he can for the team defensively, that it's 100 to 150 metres to get back into position to be, you know, in a scoring opportunity for him again. So it's just that balance. But, it's something, as I said, we can work on throughout the week.
Yeah, fair to say that it took him a little while to work out life in that forward line without Drew, but yeah, by the second half, they'd nutted it out.
Yeah, which is another thing that we might have to learn in the next couple of years because Drew won't be there forever. But I thought Benny Brown stood up. I mean, some of his marks, and that one in particular in the pocket, was fantastic.
Wasn't it good?
He's unlike we thought Big Benny, but he seems to get the job done somehow. So hopefully he keeps going. But, I mean, Aaron Black came back into the side. And, I mean, they're all different players. So it's just about working together. And then we'll obviously get Drew back next week. So then it all sort of has to work in again with the main guy in there as well.
You see Ruckman, and you've been around so many players now in your long career. You see Ruckman and you've got Ivan Maric. You know he's going to accidentally elbow you in the head. Natanui might jump over you and
Captain
the knee
Risky.
Captain Risky, Shane Mumford. He's going to steamroll you. And Natanui might accidentally jump and put his knee into your forehead. And you know that they're all accidental on purposes. Ben Brown he's such a nice young man. He has no nasty edge to him. By God, he can play, but it's as if he's he's like a big Paddington bear. He's so inoffensive.
He is, and he won't cut that hair for any amount of money at the moment, the big fella, but he is. But within that, he's ultra-competitive, and obviously he's limited in some of the stuff that he can do, but he's highly talented in other areas, and, you know, his hands and his marking is fantastic, and that kick, you know, even though it's a 100-metre run-up and... You know, you feel like you've missed a quarter of football by the time he actually gets it onto his foot. But he does some things really, really well. And I think it's up to the players as the playing group, but also the coaching staff to put him in positions for him to be able to capitalise on that.
Nick, what about your own form and your own body? Fourth week back last night, you look like you've hit the ground running. You must be surprised with the volume of possession you're getting. I mean, 34 last night, they get 34 first game back, 30-plus in the other... your second game back, you must feel like you're extremely fit and be thrilled with the rehab work you've done.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways it feels like it is a little bit of a reward, and that I was out for 9 weeks, and that was a bit of a different challenge for me because I've been so fortunate with injuries from the previous 14 years. But I just felt like I'd done the work in that 9 weeks. It was like a pre-season, except I was by myself and it was freezing cold every day opposed to summer. But I felt like I'd done the work. I wanted to be back within 8 weeks and didn't quite get there, so it ended up being 9. But it's just really nice to be able to come back in. So I feel like I am fit because I'm probably still pre-season styled fit opposed to the guys that are, you know, this time of year it's really hard if you played 16 games. You know, it's winter, your body's getting really sore. I've only played 6 games. So that part probably gives me a little bit of an advantage. But it's really nice to be able to fit back in. And it helps when we've got the ball a lot more of the time and the team's playing pretty well to get a little bit of the ball yourself.
Have you got confidence back in the hamstring? I saw you handball one to Brent Harvey last night when you were just on 50. I just wasn't sure whether you'd light up and have a go. Is it still in the back of your mind? Do you still feel it at all?
No. The only time I'd ever feel it is just the scar, because I've got a nice scar, which you can't see because of the shorts that I wear. But it's the only time I can ever feel it. It just feels like it's stretching the scar more than anything. But I've got full confidence in the hammy. I feel if I didn't, then I probably couldn't back myself into even play the first game back. But
so were you just too far? Were you just too far out? You thought
when I got it, I was actually a little bit fatigued, and I just didn't want to land it on the line. I didn't know if I was going to get the distance. And to be honest with you, Boomer was pretty keen to get the handball back as well. So he said, "I'm going to fake left and I'm going to cut back right." And I said, "All right, I'll give it to you if you're coming around." And he did.
He had three hanging off him at the time. Del
was up his clacker, so it didn't look fantastic. But I probably could have had a go in hindsight. Just not sure if I would have made the full distance, just because I was a bit tired at that stage.
Can I ask you about Boomer and the stance that's been taken in a lot of ways? It almost seems like the coach just wants to send a message to the group. Now you're one of the older players there. At the moment, I think you're almost 32. Is that something that hits home to you, that you have to do everything right without the football to earn your spot?
Yeah, and I think that's always been the message. I think it's probably been reinforced a little bit more in recent weeks, which I fully support. I think it's a really good way to go about it from a coaching staff point of view, but also the leadership group, and flow through to the playing list, that a lot of the time you don't have the ball. So what are we going to do? But I mean, Boomer's fantastic. So, I mean, it's hard to make comments on a guy that has played as much as he has and at the level that he has. But I know I've heard from other young guys at the footy club say throughout the week that, if Boomer's getting spoken to like that and he's been sort of put on notice a little bit, then I better be doing my stuff as well and doing it 100%. So I think it can only be a positive. That the way that Boomer responded last week, and I know you guys won't be aware of what he was doing on the bench, but he was like another coach. You know, his awareness and understanding of the game when you come off the ground to have a rest, to let you know what he's seeing, what he's thinking, was invaluable. And then he obviously came on and did his thing anyway. So I thought he played his role really well last week. and it probably flowed into this week to be able to come out like he did. Still played half forward and get the amount of ball, the run, you know, the dare, the drive. I just thought just another fantastic game by him.
The young lad Garner comes into the team with his third or fourth game. We were chatting about him earlier. Oh, the third game last night, was it? So Kingy's
second game.
He's played two. Oh, okay. So I was rapt. This kid, he's willing to take a hit for the betterment of the team, isn't he? He's got some real go about him, this lad. Talk to us about him.
Yeah, he's been really unfortunate with, obviously, his injuries. So I played with him in the NAB Cup last year. So not the season, just gone the one before. And he actually did his hamstring about 15 metres from the bench and I was coming on for him. And he ripped it off the bone. He's just had multiple reoccurrences of that. So he's just been unfortunate. But over the last 18 months, all I've heard about is this kid is fantastic and he'll be in our best 22. And I was like, okay, I just hadn't seen it. But the way he goes about it, and you just touched on it then, he's ultra competitive and he'll have a crack. Even in that melee, he'll probably get a bit of a fine out of that. But he just wants to compete. And it's invaluable.
Yeah, exactly.
That might be his match he gone there. He might be 2021, but he just... He gives himself every opportunity because he just has a crack and that's all you can ask for a guy at his age and particularly in that forward line when you're not going to get the ball all the time but you know what you'll get from him defensively as well.
What did BJ do to upset you last night, Nick?
Yeah. Oh, he's annoyed me for about 14 years, Derm, so I just had to let him know. Nah, nothing particular. He was just telling me to pull my head in and I said, yeah, right back at you, Derm, Brendan, but... No, we're good mates. I've known him for a long time and obviously lived with him for a little while as well. So, it was all good.
Just with that then, if that's the case, you guys might end up getting a mini fine for that. You probably won't for that one. Some others might get a fine. Yep. What's your opinion on fining blokes? You guys know each other really well. You've had a little bit of a spat for 4 or 5 seconds. Do we go overs on that for the look of the game? Is it overs?
Yeah, Derm, I think sometimes the look of the game controls what the game is as well, to be honest with you. And it's all about, you know, kids being a part of the sport, and which I fully endorse. I think that's a fantastic thing. But I don't think there was much in last night. That's my opinion on it. I mean, there'll be a few $1,000 here and there that we'll have to work through at some stage. But nothing really happened. And you know as players, things have changed. You know as players that what are you really going to do? I mean, there's been times throughout this year and in previous years where you're sort of grabbing a bloke, you know, just holding each other and you look at him and go, well, nothing's going to happen here, so you may as well just get going.
Do you split the fines? What's the policy at the Kangas?
It depends if I'm in the fines, Doom. If I am, we'll split them, but if I'm not, then it's every man for himself, I reckon.
I did see Boomer just sort of walk away pretty quickly.
I knew that was coming.
Hey, Nick, before we let you go, you made some comments earlier about the running that Drew Peachey have to do and that a couple of times you got in the clear and you had to handball because you couldn't kick because there was no forwards. A lot of discussion about the state of the game, the way the game's being played at the moment. And to me, that underlines that we have got issues when forwards are having to do the amount of running that they are. To me, it just seems a little bit crazy. As a player who's been in the game, seen a lot of changes, you've had some terrific coaches over the years, some tactical geniuses like Ross Lyon. What's your thoughts on the way the game's being played and if we need to make any changes?
I'm not one for making changes. I've said this pretty much my whole career. I used to love the game as it was when I was younger. I just feel like we're always trying to change the game to make it appeal to something else or make the game more continuous. For example, you know, the ball goes through from behind, you can just grab the next ball out of the bucket and away you go again. I just think players and coaching staff will always find a way to not exploit it. It's not about trying to, you know, bend the rules or break the rules, but it's just about giving yourself an advantage. And whether it was the interchange, which came through a few years ago, you know, high rotations, I just think that clubs and coaches are ever evolving, that they can work their way through this. I actually love the game, and I know that there's games that are scrappy and dreadful, but it's our game, and that's, you know, we're still getting fantastic attendances, and you know, it's still the number one sport in Melbourne and Australia. But there is a lot of talk about it. I just don't know how far it can go, because otherwise it turns into basketball and it's just up and back. And I just think I just love the purity and the traditional style of football. That's my opinion on that.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Nick. We appreciate it.
Whereabouts are you at the moment, Nick? Whereabouts do we find you?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm in a little cafe in Brighton with my family.
Just keep your eyes out for us. We've got an APB out for Mark Robinson. If you spot him, can you tell him he's late for work?
Is he in the area?
We don't know. We're trying to find him.
Tim and entirely unlikely Robbo will ever make it to Brighton.
I don't think he's not allowed in that area, is he, Nick?
He's not allowed over the border, is he?
No, that little band around his ankle and his
ankle
wrist
bracelet.
Will give him an electric shock whenever he goes into suburbs, Brighton or Toorak.
Yes, all right. Well, if I spot him, I'll send him back to his right location.
Thank you, Nick.
No worries, guys. Have a good afternoon.
Nick Del Santo joining us there at 19 minutes to 12. Interesting, he talks about he likes traditional football, but
that's not
what we're getting. Yeah. But anyway, Scott Pendlebury, I think, was pretty outspoken on Twitter or through the week. He doesn't want changes. A lot of players and a lot of our listeners, you know, we had a big discussion last night on the rules and all the feedback, don't change the game, don't change the game.
The game...
But the game has changed.
I know we're going to talk about it later. Mm. But local football and AFL football have never looked like two different codes like they are right now.
Local football's trying to play AFL football, but they just don't have enough time to train their players to be fit enough to drill, run up and down the ground. They attempt to do it. Their starting positions are very similar.
They're totally different games.
But they just can't carry out the plan.
All right, it's 19 minutes to 12. We'll take a break. Dyson Heppel's going to join us next to talk Bombers. And then we do talk bigger issues here on Crunch Time. With thanks to Ringwood Mazda, when it comes to the crunch, you won't find a better deal. Off the SMS, Robbo's riding Herdy's bike to work.